Our lesson this morning is out of James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, using scripture well under stressful trials. Though the epistle of James offers little formal structure and is less concerned about theological concepts than other New Testament works are, it's intensely practical, explaining how to be doers of the Word of God. Well, having discussed the issue of trials in James 1:1 to 12 and the trials of temptation to sin, James chapter 1 verses 13 to 18, James turned his attention to the edifying use of scripture to handle stressful trials in James 1:19 to 27. And of course, that's the passage that we're going to cover. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Our Father, we thank you for Christ, we thank you for the Word of God, we thank you for the privilege that you have granted us to fellowship with one another around the Word. We ask that as we get into the passage this morning that we would understand what the Spirit of God has led holy men of God to write in the past, that we would take advantage of the illuminating ministry of the Spirit of God, and then rely upon the power of the Spirit of God to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. James 1, verses 19 through 27. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man who beholds his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Using scripture well under stressful trials. To use scripture well under stressful trials, we must be receptive to scripture. Now that seems to be an obvious statement, but you have to remember when you're under a stressful trial, it's very easy to get distracted from what the Bible actually says because you're all wrapped up in the trial. You can't think clearly. And James addresses this. So the first step in using scripture well under stressful trials is to be receptive to scripture instead of getting distracted from scripture by the stress that one faces in the trial. James thus called his readers to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry when the stress they face tempted them to be slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. So he wanted to reverse that, turn that around. Now the reason for this admonition is that man's anger doesn't work the righteousness of God. Now, it's interesting, in Ephesians 4:26, we're told to keep our anger from controlling us, where in James 1:20, it calls us to be slow to become angry in the first place. And both are complementary ideas. So when there's this drive to be angry, we should be slow to become angry. But if righteously we have to be angry, then we shouldn't let that anger get to the point where it controls us, where we deal with it, we adjust to it properly, we do what God wants us to do in dealing with the thing that makes us angry so that the anger doesn't become something that controls our way of life, our thinking, and then our actions. Very, very important. So we need to be receptive to Scripture. Then to use Scripture well under stressful trials, we must apply Scripture to life. Having become receptive to what the Bible says by focusing on it above the stress of our trials that tempt us to react in angry verbal outbursts, we must apply Scripture to life to receive God's blessing under the trial. Now, to achieve this, we must remove all moral filth or shabbiness, that's the unusual word hruparia, and all abundance of evil, and in meekness or humility, prautes, receive the implanted emphutos. Implanted is various, is opposite transplanted. The implanted word of God, that's the word of God that God puts within our hearts, which is able to save our souls. So God's word and Christ's gospel powerfully saved us when we believed it. All the more reason to apply that powerful word when we face stressful trials for God's nurture in those trials. So in accepting God's word, we need to apply it, not just hear it. For merely hearing the word and not applying it to our lives is a form of self-deception that accomplishes nothing under the trial. It's extremely important to make sure that we're on top of this matter of taking scripture and applying it to life. It's extremely important. If we don't apply it, what good is it? And it's like going to the gas station and filling up the gas can that you have. You might have a couple of gas cans in the trunk of your car, and then just driving off. And if you don't bother filling up your car, eventually you'll run out of gas. And you sit there on the side of the road and wonder why I've run out of gas. Well, the gas should have been in those cans. It needs to go in the trunk, into the container of the car, so then you have to take it and pour it into the car. Very, very practical. We've got to apply the Word of God, otherwise it's of no use. Now, and this is another big thing, because trials have a tendency to distract us from Scripture constantly. To use Scripture well under stressful trials, we must then consistently apply Scripture to life. Okay, let's say I face a trial on Monday. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to face a trial. Okay, you face the trial, you get the Bible, and you understand what the Bible says, so you apply it on Monday. When you wake up on Tuesday, you say, well, I applied it yesterday, so it ought to work today. No. You got to keep applying it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And one thing about God is when he teaches you to apply Scripture, he wants you to make that a way of life. And then if it becomes a way of life, then you can handle the trials that come after that. Extremely important. Now, the word in the King James Version renders the word religious in James 1:26. It comes from the Greek adjective threskos, and it refers to external observances or outward ritualistic practices which a person may think are commendable. The word religion is often used today about a faith as a whole, and we tend to avoid the idea of calling Christianity a religion, because religion generally emphasizes just the external. For us, the Christian faith, the biblical Christian faith, is something that is of the heart and then works from the heart on the outward. But nevertheless, threskos is external observances. However, external observances are futile or fruitless or useless. That's the Greek word mataios. If there's no tight rein on the tongue when facing stress under trial, and one who fails here only deceives himself by thinking that his external practices are worth anything to God. One of the things you'll notice is when you get under enough stress in a trial, there's a tendency to spout off from the mouth, right? There's a lot of talk that goes on. There's a verse in Scripture that says, in the abundance of words there lacketh not sin. In other words, eventually, if you speak enough words, you're going to be speaking that which is sinful. So the point is, there has to be a control on the tongue. We have to keep a tight rein on that tongue when we face trials. So the situation is not just to spout off with emotions. Get the emotions back under control. Put the thinking cap on. Say, okay, what am I doing here? And then function from the vantage point of thinking. So, pure external observances, that's the word threskos again, and undefiled before God the Father, is ministering to vulnerable people like widows and orphans and keeping one's self unspotted from the sinful world system that is around us. Incidentally, even psychoanalysts will tell you that if there is an issue, let's say you have suffered from some big setback in your life, and it's cost you financially or it cost you emotionally and whatnot, one of the most therapeutic things you can do is turn around and see someone else who has a need and minister to that person's need. It's extremely therapeutic. And that's exactly what James is saying, ministering to vulnerable people like widows and orphans. Widows in those days were pretty much penniless. They didn't have a, You didn't have a welfare system like you have here, so they couldn't get on, you know, Social Security insurance or anything. So they needed to help those widows and the orphans. Orphans were fatherless. They needed direction. Often they were without livelihoods as well. So ministering to these people and then keeping oneself unspotted from the sinful world system. We have a world system out there that is wicked. There's no question about it. And it's wrong and it's sinful. And we need to keep ourselves unspotted from that. There has to be a separation from that. So, to use Scripture well under stressful trials, we must first be receptive to Scripture truth by being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, regardless of the duress. The temptation is to be slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. That has to be reversed. We have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Very important. Then we must apply Scripture to life by removing all moral shabbiness and humbly receiving God's implanted word for blessing under trial. Third, we must consistently apply Scripture to life, coupling our outer actions of goodness with keeping a tight rein on our speech, regardless of the temptation to do otherwise under trial. Focusing on ministry to vulnerable people like widows and orphans and keeping ourselves unpolluted from the godless world that is around us. So, in application, that should be a one there instead of a two. Number one, to use Scripture well under the duress of trials, may we shift our focus away from becoming emotionally upset and staying that way over the evil of the trials we face, and instead focus on Scripture truth that settles and directs us unto God's blessing. There's a Christian man in our church, and I've talked to him at length about this very issue, and he says, I've come to the point where I realize that if I keep focusing on the news or what's in the newspaper or what's online, he says, it can really get me riled up. So I've learned to shift my attention away from that and just focus on the Bible's solution, the answers that are there. He says that provides a lot more stability for me. And this is something that I believe all of us do well. I know myself. Sometimes there's only so much I can take of the news out there. So I just get apart with the Lord, get apart with the Scriptures, go through the Scriptures that I know well, that I've read since childhood, and review the way God wants me to react, the way he wants me to think, and it settles. And that's what we really need. Then, may we humbly obey God's word, doing so consistently, what involves keeping a tight rein on our speech from becoming unedifying, backing up good actions with a true care for other vulnerable people, and keeping ourselves unpolluted by the godly and world system around us, or from the ungodly world system around us. These are all very pragmatic steps that James had. And remember, he's writing to people who have lost their jobs, they've lost their properties, they have actually had to flee their homelands because of they've become Christians, they're Jews, and they've become Christians, they're ostracized by their own people. And so he's writing to these people who are scattered abroad. And these are people who struggle with these very issues of these stressful trials that they find. And here they are, they're in foreign countries, they have to set up shop again with their new jobs. And it's quite a stretch for them. So he's giving them practical instructions that are really valuable for any Christian who faces a stressful trial in his life. I have found passages like this, like in James 1, 19 and 27, to be of enormous value in my own walk with God. And I would heartily encourage them for other people. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you might have. It could be on the material that we've covered. It doesn't have to be if there's something else that's